Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to Live with Lon this week. We're so glad that you've joined us to study the Bible, the whole Bible, and nothing but the Bible, and then apply it to our lives. And so we have a very exciting passage this week that's got some exciting application to our lives. But before we get into it, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for this vaccine that seems to be imminent to help us fight off the coronavirus that has literally changed the whole world in 2020. And so, Lord, we ask you to continue to make successful the attempts of these scientists and medical personnel with this virus vaccine. And Lord, I pray that it would be safe and effective and without side effects of any major concern. Lord, just show mercy to the human race, we pray, by completing this very quick development of this virus and bringing the days of this pandemic to an end. Father, we pray now that our time in the Word of God today would be rich and that it would be rewarding and that it would be life-changing. And we commit our time to you in the Scripture. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay. Well, we have been chugging along in the Gospels. Praise the Lord. And we are past the fulcrum point in Matthew 16:21, where the Jesus begins to turn his face like a flint, the Bible says, towards Jerusalem and the cross. And yet there's still much going on before Jesus actually gets to the cross. And so we've been working our way through that. We've looked at the great declaration by Peter, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." We've looked at the transfiguration of the Lord Jesus, where he peeled back his human nature and gave Peter, James, and John a glimpse of his divine nature. And last week, we talked about, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief, and how to increase our faith, and how to deepen our belief in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so today, we come to another event in the life of the Lord Jesus here, where the subject is children. And you know, there's great songs, "Jesus loves the little children, all the children of the world," and then other songs about the love of the Lord Jesus Christ for children. And he did love children, but there was a reason that he loved children. And we're going to see that today and talk about some of what he said that takes off from there and covers a very important subject, the subject of hell in the afterlife and its reality. So, with that little bit of context, let's pick up in Matthew's Gospel, and we're going to be going to Mark's Gospel as well. And today we're going to use the old King James. This is the Bible that the man who led me to Christ, Bob Eckhart, in 1971, the street preacher, gave me the very first time we talked and asked me to read it. And if you look inside of it, you can see I read it and I marked it up everywhere with markings. And this is a precious thing to me. But the reason we're going to use the old King James is because I just like the way it translates a bunch of the verses that we're going to look at more than I like the way any other translation handles them. So, here we go. Verse 1. "At the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus called a little child unto him, and set him, the child, in the midst of them. And Jesus said, Verily I say unto you, except ye be converted, and become as little children, you shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Now, what does Jesus mean by this? Except you be converted and become as little children. Well, later on he's going to say, whoever doesn't receive me as a child would, it will not go into the kingdom of heaven. And this is why Jesus loved children. Because if you've ever dealt much with children, you know that young children, before they've become educated beyond their intelligence, as most of us are, they believe easily in the Lord Jesus Christ. They believe easily in their parents. When their parent says, makes them a promise, they accept it. When their parent tells them they're going to do something, they accept it. They're not cynical, and they're not jaded, and they're not difficult. They have no difficulty believing what someone in authority tells them. And this is the whole idea of coming to Christ, is when we are converted and we come to Christ, it's a simple matter of us believing what God tells us in the Bible. He who believes in me has eternal life, Jesus said. Okay, I believe that, like a little child. God so loved the world that he sent his one and only Son, that whoever would believe in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. A child believes that. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Now, a little child believes that. A little child believes it when you tell him 1 John chapter 5 that these things I write to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. You tell a child, hey, you have eternal life and you're going to heaven because you believe in Jesus. They accept that, and they totally believe it. This is the kind of belief that the Lord Jesus Christ insists upon from everybody. It's just that as adults, we have a lot harder time showing this childlike faith. But it's this childlike faith that unlocks heaven and eternal life for us. And this is what Jesus is talking about. And so he goes on right after that to say, verse 4, Matthew 18, whoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoso shall receive one such little child in my name receiveth me. But whoso shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged around his neck and that he were drowned in the depth of the sea. So Jesus said, you want to be the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? The disciples were arguing about that. Well, Jesus said, just humble yourself like a little child and serve other people from the heart. And without ulterior motive, and you'll be the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And then he goes on to say, and whoever hinders a little child in their faith, or in any way, will pay a great price. It will be better for them if a millstone, a big, heavy rock, was put around their neck, and they were thrown into the sea. So, here's Jesus saying that he invokes a very heavy price from people who mistreat and in some way shake the faith of little children. It's very sad to see little children in our world today sold into slavery. Little children in our world today pressed into labor for 10 and 12 hours a day, and to see little children in our world abused by organizations like the Boy Scouts, allegedly, and the church, not allegedly, for sure. The people who do this are going to pay enormous prices, both in this life and particularly in the life to come. So disciplining a child, that's a good thing. Abusing a child, hurting a child, taking advantage of a child, damaging a child's faith, sexually abusing a child. I just wouldn't want to be in that person's shoes that does that. So, now, having said that, Jesus now segues off of that into a discussion of the afterlife. Because he's threatened that it would be better if a millstone were hanging around your neck than for you to do this and come into the afterlife and face me. And so here's what he says. Woe unto the world because of offenses, for it must needs be that offenses come. But woe to that man by whom the offense cometh. Now he's bridging off here this man or woman who is offended by damaging a child. Wherefore, if thy hand or thy foot offend thee, cut it off and cast them from thee. For it is better for thee to enter into life, eternal life, halt or maimed, without a hand, without a foot, rather than having two hands or two feet to be cast into everlasting fire. And if thine eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee, for it is better for thee to enter into eternal life with one eye rather than to have two eyes and be cast into hell fire. Now these verses are not meant to be taken bone literal, where Jesus is suggesting we cut off our hand or we cut off our foot or take out our eye. He's simply saying that it would be better for us if our hand is what is offending these children to cut it off and have only one hand and get into heaven than it is for us to have both hands and be cast into hell. You understand what I'm saying? Besides, when we get our glorified bodies in heaven, the person would get their hand back anyway. This correlates with a passage that we find in Mark's Gospel, Mark chapter 9, verse 42. Let's look at that. And whosoever shall offend one of these little ones that believe in me, it is better for him that a millstone be hanged around his neck and he were cast into the sea. Now, here we go. And if thy hand offend thee, cut it off, for it is better for thee to enter into eternal life maimed than having two hands to go into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched, where their worm dieth not. That's an old English word for their spirit. Where a person's spirit dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. And if thy foot offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter halt without one foot, limping into life, than having two feet to be cast into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched, where their worm, their spirit, dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. And if thine eye offend thee, pluck it out. It is better for thee to enter into the kingdom of God with one eye, than having two eyes to be cast into hell, where their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. Okay, now, Jesus here is warning us, again, in context, about hurting in any way children. But I want you to see what he says about the afterlife. He makes it very clear in these verses that there are two destinations in the afterlife. One is eternal life, the kingdom of heaven, and the other one is a place where, let me go back and let's quote it. Look, verse 44, where their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. So this we know as hell. We call it hell in the Bible. These are the two destinations available to every human being when they leave this life. These are the only two destinations. Not purgatory, not soul sleep, not just being blown out like a candle. None of those destinations are available to you and me. Just the kingdom of God, eternal life, heaven, and where the fire is never quenched and the soul never dies. Hell. Now, this is as far as we want to go in our passage, because we want to stop now and we want to ask our most important question. So are you ready? Come on now, here we go. 1, 2, 3. So what? Oh, yes. And do I need to say it, or are you going to say it? Ready? Here we go. How sweet it is to hear so what and be teaching the word again. Yes. Now, the reason that I stopped when I did is because I want to focus on what Jesus says here about the afterlife and about these two options that people have in the afterlife. Of course, he's threatening those in context who in any way harm children with hell. But I want us to broaden that a little bit and just look and see what he says about hell. May I remind you that Jesus talked more about hell in the Gospels than ever he did about heaven. And he gave descriptions of hell more in the Gospels than he gave descriptions of heaven. Why? Not to depress us, but to warn us, in his mercy, to make sure we understood. It's not a myth. It's not a legend. This is a real place that real people really go. And so he wants us to understand that. Listen, let me just share some of what Jesus says in the Bible about hell. First, in the parable or the true story that perhaps that he tells about Lazarus and the rich man in Luke chapter 16, he says very little about heaven where Lazarus finds himself, but in a very detailed way, he describes hell. And look what he says. The rich man died, and in hell, the rich man lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and he cried out, verse 24, and said, Abraham, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he might dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. So, what do we find out? Four times in this passage, Jesus says that the rich man in hell was in torment, and he talks about the unquenchable flame, the fire that Jesus mentioned already in Mark chapter 9 as a description of hell. Let's go on. In Matthew chapter 23, verse 33, Jesus says to the rabbis, how shall you escape the condemnation of hell? In Luke chapter 12, verse 5, Jesus says, fear him, not who can kill the body, but who has the power to cast people into hell. In Matthew chapter 11, Jesus threatens the cities of Capernaum and Bethsaida with being brought down to hell. And in hell, look what Jesus says. Let's go back to Matthew chapter 8, verse 11. Jesus said, and I say to you, talking to the Jewish leaders here, that many shall come from the east and the west and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven, but the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness, where there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Now, if you're a Gentile, you're in the first verse. You're going to come from the east and the west, from all over the world, and you're going to sit down in the kingdom of heaven if you know Christ with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But Jewish people who reject Christ, they're going to be cast into the outer darkness where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth, in pain and in agony and you know, in torment. Now, let's look at Luke's gospel. Luke chapter 13, verse 27. But he shall say, I tell you, I do not know whence you are. Depart from me, you workers of iniquity, and there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth when you shall see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and you yourselves thrust out. And they shall come from the east and from the west and from the north and from the south. That's all you Gentiles who are coming from everywhere and trusting Christ, and they shall sit down in the kingdom of God. And behold, there are the last which shall be first, and there are the first which shall be last. Jesus is saying, you Jewish people who think you're the first in God's thinking, you're going to be last if you don't trust Christ. But look what Jesus says, more importantly, about where they're going to be thrust out to. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So this is how hell is described to us in the Bible. The worm, the soul, does not die. You live forever in hell. Friends, all of us are going to live forever somewhere, but we're going to either live forever in heaven or live forever in hell. But living forever in hell is a horrible thing. Because the weeping, the gnashing of teeth, the torment, the fire that is never quenched, the thirst, as we hear from the rich man saying to Lazarus. My gosh, Jesus is telling us what's out there, my dear friends. Now, where did hell come from? There's a very interesting passage in 2 Peter chapter 2. Let me show it to you. 2 Peter chapter 2. Verse 4, for if God spared not the angels that had sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment, then he goes on and on and on. But this is where hell came from. It was created for the devil and his angels to spend all of eternity in chains and in outer darkness, Jesus calls it. So here's a place where the fire is never quenched for the devil and his angels as well. Men go here who don't trust Christ while they're here on earth, and women. But it wasn't created originally for men and women. It was created for the devil and his angels who rebelled against God before man even existed on this earth. Now, this is confirming in our mind that hell exists. And when Jesus talks about these Jewish people who weren't going to trust in him being thrust out, where did they get thrusted to? Well, they got thrusted to a real place called hell. They didn't get thrusted into infinity. No, they got thrusted into hell. Now, one final thing, and that is, hell is not actually the final resting place of Satan. Or people who don't trust in Christ. The book of Revelation tells us about this. And just for the sake of completion and giving you the whole story, let me just give you this one fact. And that is, I'm in Revelation chapter 19 now, verse 20. It says, and the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast. So talking about the Antichrist here. And them that worship the image of the Antichrist, and these both were cast alive into the lake of fire, burning with brimstone. Chapter 20 of the book of Revelation. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are. We just read that. And shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. Skip down to verse 14. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. Hell goes into the lake of fire. It's a place where people are temporarily domiciled until it and all of them go into the lake of fire, which burns forever. This is the second death, Jesus said. The first death is when they die here or leave this earth. The second death is when they go into the lake of fire. Look at chapter 14. If any man worships the beast, the Antichrist, during the tribulation period in his image and receives his mark on his forehead or in his hand, that same person shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation. And he, that person, shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb, and the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever, and they shall have no rest nor night who worship the beast in his image, and whosoever receiveth the mark of his name. Wow, wow, wow. Okay, this is hell. It's real and it's terrible. Now, what's the so what of all this, my friends? Well, listen, it's very simple. Folks, Jesus said it. He said, don't fear the people who the worst they can do is kill your body, but fear him, God, who has the power to cast people into hell. The first thing this should do is drive every single one of us to a personal faith in Jesus Christ and a personal trust in what he did on the cross for us, and fearing God and obeying God in terms of how he told us to get salvation, and fearing God once we do that in terms of trying to live an obedient life. He's not going to cast us into hell once we've trusted Christ. But this just shows us that the worst thing that can happen to you and me is not that we die. The worst thing that can happen to us is that we die without Christ and go into this horrible place. You know, I don't care how bad your human life may be here on this earth. At least you have death to look forward to, where whatever's happening to you here on earth, some horrible sickness or being locked up in some dungeon or whatever, it's going to be over. At least you can look forward to death as freeing you from these horrible circumstances. Friends, in hell, you can't look forward to death or anything else ever freeing you from the horrible circumstances that are true of hell. Trust Christ. I'm telling you, trust Christ. Because once you leave this life, there's no more opportunity to do that. But also what this does, finally, is this should convince us of the incredible importance of telling other people about the Lord. If hell is real, and if people are really going to go there, and if this kind of suffering and torment is really going to happen to them for all of eternity, darkness and fire and brimstone and pain and agony, a gnashing of teeth, my friends, we need to tell people about Christ. I'm fully convinced that the reason the church, particularly in America today, is not more evangelistic in its passion, is not more passionate about sharing the gospel and being out witnessing with people, is because the reality of hell is no longer among us. It's not preached from our pulpits. It's not taught in our Sunday schools. We don't hear it from the evangelists and the preachers on television or radio. It is pretty much a moot subject that nobody talks about because we don't want to be accused of being fire and brimstone preachers by people in the world. My friends, I don't want us to be fire and brimstone preachers. I don't want us to be anything but preachers of the truth. And the truth is hell is real. Real people are going there, and it really is through faith in Christ that people escape. And this is why you and I with every person we meet, the cashier at the grocery store, the UPS delivery person, the Amazon delivery person, the person who delivers our mail, people who are out working for our neighbors in their yards or where else, all these people that we pass, our friends, the people we're going to talk to, it's over Zoom if we're not even with them at Christmas. If they don't know Christ, friends, it's our responsibility, our duty, and should be our burden to tell them, even if it makes us unpopular. Jesus said it would. Even if they hate us, Jesus said they would. But they're not really hating us, they're hating Jesus. But Jesus said they would. That's okay. I'd much rather be unpopular with someone here than get into the afterlife and have them look at me from hell, if they can, maybe they can, I think, and say, Lon, you mean you knew how I could escape being in hell and you never told me? I sat next to you at our work for 10 years. I lived next to you. I was your neighbor for 10 years. I was in your family. I had Thanksgiving and Christmas with you. I grew up in your house. I was your child. You never told me? I was your best friend. We played racquetball every week, and you never told me? I'd rather be unpopular here on earth than hear that in eternity. And that is in my mind with every single person that I meet. I mean, sometimes it's a lot of trouble to go back and share the gospel with them. Sometimes it's a lot of slows me down and I've got things to do. And I got to slow down to take the time to talk to them or give them a CD or give them a tract. But I keep thinking, you know, better to take the time here, Lon, than have them look at you from hell and say, why didn't you tell me? I was raking leaves in the yard right next to you. You walked within 10 feet of me going to your car. You couldn't come over and give me something to help me not end up here? I think, my friends, if we had a greater grasp on the reality of hell, we would all have a greater passion to tell people about Jesus. If we had a greater belief in the reality of hell, we would have a greater passion to tell people about Christ. Well, I've told you all about hell. I hope you believe it, my friends. It's in the Bible. And I hope you believe it enough, and me too, that it causes us to slow down, interrupt our schedule, inconvenience ourselves, and seek to lovingly share Christ. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, this holiday season, we're going to run into or talk to or Zoom with a lot of people that don't know you. And Father, I just pray that you would give us a passion to share Jesus with these folks. Now, to be sensitive, of course, and not just to bust into conversations out of nowhere, but Lord, to trust you to lead our conversations to the point where we can share Jesus. And yes, to make us bold in bringing up the subject. And Father, if we're unpopular, well, as I said, you warned us we would be. And if people don't like us, even hate us, well, Lord, you warned us they would be. You said that you would make enemies of fathers with sons and mothers with daughters and friends with friends over this issue of trusting Christ. But nonetheless, you left us here to go out in all the world and preach the gospel. Lord Jesus, grip us with the reality of hell, that we might have a greater passion to share Jesus. And I pray this in Jesus' name. And everybody said, come on now, amen. Okay. Well, this is one preacher that you will hear preach about hell. Not because I want to be a fire and brimstone preacher, but friends, very simply, it's in the Bible. And what do we do on Live with Lon and at Lon Solomon Ministries? What do? We teach the Bible, the whole Bible, nothing but the Bible, and then we apply it to our lives. And if it's in the Word of God, we teach it because it's true. Okay, well, God bless you. Thanks for being with us today. And I hope we'll see you next week on Live with Lon.